Reiner Schaug from TSN joins us, fresh off of a tour on the teacups out at Disneyland. How are the teacups, Schaug?
Teacups are good. Yeah, and I actually went on the big coaster, so that's saying something.
I've never been to Disneyland. What is the big coaster?
Like, the California Adventure, just big roller coaster. I was at Disney World last year with the whole family, so I did a bunch there too. But like every time you go again, you're kind of freaked out again. So wasn't sure I was going to go, but got on her and got through her. And so I'm feeling a little woozy and a little off, but good to go.
Did you throw up?
How have you never been to Disneyland? How have you never been to Disneyland?
I went to Six Flags when I was 10 in outside of mm-hmm. Minneapolis. That was kind of the big trip for the Greger clan back then. And my son's three. I don't really think you go to Disneyland as an adult by yourself. Like, you've been there with kids, so maybe it's different now. You guys know where you're going. But yeah, when I was in my 20s, it wasn't like, hey, I'm going to Disneyland. No, it was like going to Costa Rica or to Vegas or something.
Yeah, well, you got to take the little man now. I mean, maybe not quite yet, but you.
No. I'll wait until he's like eight where he remembers it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, that'll be my plan. So we'll see how it goes. Now, the Oilers getting a little bit of a break tonight. No Devan Dubnyk. It's Darcy Kemper. And yeah. The players, too, man, talked about how, you know, a few days away, your head's out of it, your brain's out of it, and now you got to get back in it. Really, the first period will be crucial tonight because the Minnesota Wild at even strength are very, very scary, plus 37.
Well, no question they are. And if you think about one of the habits that the Oilers had a lot of this season was they weren't great on their starts, and in particularly at home. So this kind of all adds up to be a not great concoction for them. Layoff at home, haven't played for a while against a team that can hurt you, against a team that doesn't give up a whole lot. Now, you said it. They caught a break not having Devan Dubnyk in net tonight because Devan's been one of the best goalies in the world for the last little while here. So it's a break for them, but this all adds up to a bad equation for the Oilers. And for some of the things that have plagued their game this year, tonight would be the night where they would come out and bite them. Now, we've seen them clear hurdles like this all the way along the way, where we would say, this is what a different Oilers team would do. What will this Oilers team do? Well, if this Oilers team comes out of the All-Star break and has a great start to the game, that'll once again be another sign of growth.
Looking at a few of the players individually, Jordan Eberle has gotten better here in the last few weeks. Obviously, Nugent Hopkins, Milan Lucic, the same thing. Do you think Pouliot can salvage his season?
Well, I mean, I don't know if he can salvage. Yeah, there's enough games left that if he goes on a little bit of a hot streak and gets playing well, then for sure he can salvage his season. I mean, the narrative will never be what a great season this was for Benoit Pouliot. Too much has come and gone, and he's been bad for too long. But a strong finish, and I said this a few months ago on the show, and I still believe it to this day, and I'm not sure if at trade deadline time he will come or go or stay or leave or what. I'm not sure. But I've seen Benoit Pouliot deep in the playoffs, and he's a valuable player. I think if the Oilers, if and when they make the playoffs, they're actually going to be glad they have him, that he'll be a valuable player to play on their third line or their second line, depending. He can skate fast. He can hit hard. They don't normally call it quite as tight. And he's an experienced player. So as painful as he can be game 1 through 82 and up and down and all over the place, I really believe once the playoffs start, they're going to be really glad they have him. And some people might say, well, how in the world, why is all of a sudden he going to play better in the playoffs than he has through the regular season? And all I can say is I've seen him in the playoffs, and I know he can elevate his intensity level as the importance of the games goes up.
Yeah, and I think he will. Another guy from the list that Greger just mentioned that I want to talk about briefly is Milan Lucic. We saw him really that last week and a half before the break, really step up his play, step up his intensity. Do you think there is a danger that because of the All-Star break, he will just sort of fall back into that sleepy lull that we saw him in before?
I'm not sure. It's a good question. And, you know, when you look at what puts the fire into Lucic's game and what the difference is when he's on and when he's off, and that, like, you know this because you had to go out and try and do this, to play this way, to go out and be tough, be menacing, make things uncomfortable for the other team. When Lucic injects those elements into his game, everything seems to go well for him. But what's a fair expectation for him, how often he needs to go do that? And I don't just mean fight. I mean come out and play a game where he is no fun to play against. Can you expect the guy to do that every game? Do you expect him to be that way, well, once every five or six games? Like, what's a fair expectation on a player like Lucic? And so, yeah, there is the risk that after a layoff and after two such solid performances, he comes back and maybe some of that edge is dulled. I think if they can get that kind of intensity out of him consistently every three or four games, if he shows it, I think that that'll probably make a big difference and stop him from going as on as bad a slide as he was on for a while there.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Andre Sekera, has he surprised you by how well he's played this season?
Yeah, I know he has. I think after last season, we kind of wondered if Peter Chiarelli had gotten maybe a little bit desperate and handed a guy a contract that he was going to regret in the search for a guy that fits. And in the first season, you watch him and you take a look at the guy and the way he plays, and it definitely, that first year definitely made it a little more dicey. But as time has gone on here and as he's gotten better and better, I think he's just settled in, and I think the subtleties in his game, the quality in his game is, it's taken a little bit of time, but it's been consistent now. And he's brought a high-end game with a surprising level of consistency. He's not just having nights where, oh, he was really good. Most nights, he's bringing a really high level, and then some nights, he's fantastic. So I think it may be where we were quick to criticize Chiarelli last year in thinking he overspent on a guy because he was desperate. Looks like he might have identified a player that can definitely play up to those expectations, and now he is. So now it's up to him to keep it up for the rest of the year and be good in the playoffs to justify the faith that was put in him with that deal.
Well, you look at him and, you know, and some people wonder if that'll be the same for Milan Lucic. I don't think there's any proof that shows because one player went through a certain growing pain that the next player is going to go through the exact same one. There's lots of different variables in it, but I think different players, different positions, and Lucic in his case is never going to ask to be the number one forward, where Sekera this year might have to be the number one defenseman. But, you know, in next year or the year after that, I don't think the expectations will be on him to be in their top pair either.
Yeah, no, and I think that's fair. Players are going to grow around him, and as players grow around him, he's the experienced veteran, but he will get pushed down the lineup a little bit. Just getting back to Lucic, I mean, the one thing I wonder about is when his game disappeared for so long. I mean, I think it's fair to wonder if it was a motivation issue, if it was a guy that was disappointed with maybe where he was playing, the guy who was frustrated with the opportunity he was being given. I don't know what the answer is, but it took him a while to kind of pull himself out of it. So maybe now that it's happened and he's had success, and it's not like they changed his position and then he had success. He stuck with it and kept playing his way through it and then had the success. And so their hope is he can keep doing it from where he is, because he's really valuable where he is in the lineup right now. So it's about being comfortable. It's about keeping the right attitude. And I mean, as far as I can tell with Sekera, I mean, he just, whatever ice time they want to give him, whatever position they want to put him in, he just goes and does his job. And his game was up and down a little bit last year, but much more steady this year. And he's helping grow players around him too.
My question is this. I don't know if it was a motivation issue. I wonder if it's a adaptation issue to where the game has changed so much the last few years that, do you think it could be for Lucic a little bit of a struggle to adapt his game to a game where it's, you know, there's going to be nights where he can be physical, but he's required to do so much more than be physical on the ice in terms of speed and pace of play that, you know, maybe he's just struggling to find a natural fit for how he needs to play to be successful?
Well, yeah, and that might be a big part of it, definitely, is kind of understanding the way he needs to play. I mean, look, the other thing is I do think Milan Lucic knows he needs to change his game a little bit to be able to have some longevity in his career. Like, I don't think he can keep playing the same style that he did the first 5 or 6 years of his career over and over and over again. I mean, we heard about potentially some issues with his hand. We heard about, you know, some potential health stuff, and you can't necessarily keep up that pace. So for him, how do you stay effective when maybe you have to take your foot off the gas, where you can't take all challengers all the time, where you can't, you know, and then you mix in a little bit of maybe some frustration with where you're at in the lineup, and maybe it's just a tough spot for him. And he just needed to figure out a way to work his way through it. So, I mean, he was on that line with Kajula and Slepyshev, right? Where he's basically, from an offensive standpoint, the guy that's going to carry that line and the most experienced guy on that line. And maybe it just took him a little bit to feel okay about being in that spot and where he can actually apply himself and be find ways to be effective no matter who's next to him. To me, with Lucic, I mean, so much of it is on the wall in his own end. When he's playing good, he makes good plays on the wall in his own end. He doesn't settle for making crappy plays. He gets mad. He gets mad and he bowls his way to making the right play. And on other nights, he just lets it get away from him on the wall in his own end. And the quality comes out of his game there. And that causes all kinds of problems for him.
Sugar, enjoy your last day at Disneyland. Don't get sick in the teacups, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good, guys. Thanks.